Well, welcome to Arts Live and Local. I'm sitting in for Carol Newman today. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm the station manager. We have an interesting lineup for you today. We have folks from the North Coast Symphonic Band here today, and we're going to be speaking with the folks from Ma Barley. Mark Erickson is here to talk about the Bob Marley birthday party, and then we're going to be speaking with people from the Astoria School of Ballet about an indie-funded campaign that they have going to fund a performance here in the area to involve local kids. So we're going to start out today with talking to folks from the North Coast Symphonic Band. So let me get those mics up here. Hi. I am here in the studio with Bob Joyner and John Hammond. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Thank you so much for both being here today. So there's some really neat stuff happening this weekend. I have a program here in my hand. The North Coast Symphonic Band's performance, Joy in All Things, 2 p.m. Sunday, April 27th. That's at the PAC, the Clatsop Community College Performing Arts Center. So tell us a little bit about this concert.
Okay, well, we're going to start off with a pre-concert performance by the Astoria Tuba Quartet. They've been around for quite some time, and for this particular show, we have incorporated David Drury, who's a wonderful guitar player and composer, with the quartet. David approached me about a couple of songs that he had written, and I liked them very much. I suggested that we might be able to blend them in with the tuba quartet.
That sounds
that
really terrific.
That the sounds were very synchronized. You know, they came along. They blended very well. So we did that, and it's worked out very nicely. So we're going to be playing two songs by David Drury and then some other jazz tunes, primarily, with the tuba quartet. So I think it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
So tubas, this sounds pretty fun. So there are different kinds of tubas. I gather there are tenor tubas. I'm reading the program. So can you tell us a little bit about the tuba as an instrument?
All right. The tuba is a much misunderstood instrument. most people think of oompa oompa, and it being the So what they don't realize is that it can be a very, very effective melodic instrument. Playing with the tubas is also euphoniums. Sometimes people know them as baritone horns. And are tenor tubas, and they take the high part usually in the orchestration, and that's pretty much all you need to know about the tubas. I will say you will be surprised when you hear our how everything fits together.
So now Dave Drury, he's a guitarist, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And so this is going to be guitar and tuba.
Yeah,
original
guitar
compositions.
And tuba quartet.
Wow. So now the tuba quartet is an organization. I mean, they're a group that exists apart from this performance, right?
Yes.
So are there pieces that are written specifically for tubas?
Yes.
Huh? Wow, yes, so there's a whole genre of music that is tuba music. That's pretty interesting.
It's unusual, but it's very nice.
Hmm. Well, do you know anything about the origin of the tuba, where it came from?
No. I don't. You go back into, maybe John could fill us in on that. Do you know anything about the origin of the tuba?
I just have to speculate.
That's the way with me.
So I don't think I will.
Well, is it, I mean, I'm looking at, is it, I guess, is it an instrument that is widely played? I mean, it seems like in every band there's at least one kid in high school who ends up playing the tuba.
Yeah.
You just have to have a tuba in your band. For that foundation,
right.
For that low sound.
Right.
Well, so this is going to be the pre-show, the Astoria Tuba Quartet. Then we get into the actual performance by the North Coast Symphonic Band. So what's going to happen there?
Well, every year the North Coast Symphonic Band invites a guest conductor to come in, and so this is our guest conductor concert that we're doing, and our guest conductor is Charles Bolton, who's a retired music educator from here in Oregon, actually started his teaching career in Napa and retired from Sam Barlow High School there in Gresham. And he is one of the best music educators in the state. And so we are really excited to have him. I originally ran into him at the Oregon Music Educators Conference in Eugene many years ago and listened to his band from Sam Barlow, and I couldn't believe how good high school kids could sound.
Wow.
So we're really excited to have him.
That's really terrific. So now you mentioned, we were just chatting a little bit before the show, and you mentioned that there are about 40 people who are going to be performing in the North Coast Symphonic Band?
Yes.
Well, so I have a question. It's kind of maybe a non-musician question, but when I hear about the kind of music that you're playing, why are you called a band instead of, say, an orchestra? What's the difference?
Orchestras usually have strings.
Ah, okay.
And bands usually don't. However, we do have a string bass playing.
Okay.
And that adds another color to our band. And in my own personal bands, I've actually had students who played violin in it. And so, you know, there's some crossover there. But generally, bands do not have strings.
Okay. So then what kinds of instruments are there in your band?
Flutes, oboe, clarinet, bass clarinet, bassoon. What am I forgetting? Oh, saxophones. We have both alto, tenor, and barry sax. Although I don't think we're using a barry this time, are we?
No.
And trumpets, trombones, euphonium, tubas, and our string bass, and percussion.
Wow. So now who are these folks who are playing all these instruments?
Well,
where do you find them?
People like Bob and me who've played music all our lives and just want to continue playing.
Huh.
So we have adults. We have students from some of the local high schools. All three, Seaside, Astoria, and Warrenton, have students in this band. So that's what makes up our band. It's a community band.
And you are a nonprofit, so people can support you.
Yes,
they can
indeed contribute
to you. Okay, so if they were to go to this conference, this concert, they would have the opportunity to contribute.
Say, oh, yes.
Never miss an opportunity like we all do in nonprofit land. Well, you brought me some music, and I'm going to play a little bit of it so that people can hear.
Ahead.
So let's do that for just a second. Was an example of the kind of music that you'll be hearing at this wonderful concert on Sunday, April 27th. That's this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria. Now, Bob and John, let me ask you a little bit about what did we just hear?
About what was it? What was the question?
What piece of music did we just hear, and what was that? Let's see, I'm looking at the CD that you gave me.
Well, that was actually a piece that we recorded last year at our concert that featured French music. and I think that was...
It was track 11. Let me see. It says Military Symphony Allegro, Springtime in Paris.
Right.
So now this was actually the band. So this is a recording.
Right, that's a recording of us
of
performing.
You. Wow, that's really terrific. So now this gives people an idea of the kind of music they're going to hear. But let's look at the program for the concert that's going to happen this weekend. What kind of music are we going to be hearing? Give us an idea.
Well, we're going to be performing all kinds of music. We have the usual march. We're doing a El Capitan by Sousa, and nobody does the march better, I think, than a band.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited to do that. Plus, we have some of the old standard composers that originally wrote for band music, like Claire Grunman, Alfred Reed, and Frank Erickson. Plus, we have some of the newer composers, like Brian Balmages. So, plus that, and then we're doing the a medley from Miss Saigon, which was a Broadway musical.
Yeah.
So there's quite a variety of music in there.
So it looks as though there's also musical instruments of Civil War times. That's really interesting, too.
Yeah, that's kind of important to point out.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing Claire Grunman's Civil War suite, The Blue and Gray, which features melodies from that time period. And then Mr. Bolton, who has this huge collection of instruments, is going to show off some of his Civil War time instruments. So we're excited about seeing that.
So then, when you are, say, when you're putting together this particular type of band, do you have places? Are you looking for a certain number of different kinds of instruments, or do people just come to you generally? I mean, do you recruit people for certain instruments when you're looking for people to be in the band?
We would love to be able to do that. Unfortunately, we are a seriously deprived population here of professional musicians. So we don't stress the absolute perfection on your instrument and this type of thing. But yes, we are looking for additional instruments, particularly like the clarinets. It takes quite a few to balance the band, and they are our string section, actually. So that goes on through the band too.
Right. Well, they have that kind of reedy tone,
yes.
You know, that
yes,
provides a different kind of a flavor. So then people can, if there were musicians out there listening who played these kind of instruments who were interested, they could contact you and see if there was room to be part of the band?
Right. And the person to contact is Lee Stromquist.
Okay. And how would somebody contact Lee if they wanted to do that?
I believe that his contact information... I don't see it in the program, but in the newspaper press release, it's written in there, his
but
contact information.
If somebody went to your website at northcoastsymphonicband.org, would there be a contact information
I'm
there?
Sure there is.
Okay, so if you're out there, if you're especially calling all clarinetists, it could be an opportunity. You know, I know you say that maybe there's sort of a dearth of musicians, but, you know, I find that this is such a rich area of people who are so many talented people around this area who
yes, are
into music and arts, and that's one of the things that makes this show so fascinating is the people who are bringing this music to you. I mean, it's a tremendous thing that you're doing. It's really wonderful that it's local people doing this. What a tremendous thing. So let me just see. I'm looking at... So the name of this is Joy in All Things. Why is it named that? Why is the concert named that?
I think it's a combination of the season, which is spring. It's supposed to be a joyful, joyful spring and all. And, of course, the piece that we are playing, Joy in All Things, is a reflection of the springtime feeling that most of us have, you know, and I think that's mainly it.
That's a wonderful thing. So now just to remind people what we've been talking about, I've been talking with Bob Joyner and John Hammond, They are with the North Coast Symphonic Band, and we're talking about a performance, a concert that's going to be happening this Sunday at 2 p.m. in Astoria at the Astoria Performing Arts Center, the Classic Community College. We call it the PAC. And there's going to be a pre-show concert by the Astoria Tuba Quartet with guitarist Dave Drury. And it's going to be a great chance to hear some wonderful, music of brass and woodwinds and some terrific stuff. So I thank you both for being here.
Thank you very much for having us.
I hope you get a great turnout. Remember that this is a nonprofit. You can support it. And so when you're at the concert, you might want to bring your checkbook and help support these folks. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to play another piece from your CD as we go out. So thank you so much for being here.
All right.
Just a quick reminder, you are listening to Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm sitting in for Carol Newman today. I'm talking with people about what's happening around the region in terms of music and arts. And we just heard from the North Coast Symphonic Band. That's the music you were just hearing. And they are going to be performing, just a quick reminder, on Sunday, April 27th. That's this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the PAC in Astoria. It's going to be a terrific opportunity to hear some symphonic band music. So we're going to switch gears a bit. We're going to go into the reggae realm. And I have Mark Erickson here, Mark Meadowlark. If you're a fan of reggae music on Coast Community Radio, you have heard Mark many times. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Joanne. What a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to be here with you. I listen to you all the time on the radio. I love your show.
You listen?
Yeah, I do.
Call me once in a while.
I will.
Thanks.
I will. Every now and then I call. You know, I have a great love for reggae music because when I used to live in the Southwest on the Hopi, in the Hopi Nation, Hopi people love reggae.
Well, I hope they do.
And so there would be these tremendous reggae concerts at this this performing arts center that was on the reservation, and people would come from all over to hear reggae music. So I have a lot of affection for that genre. So tell us a little.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
All ages, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that really? I think that's why. I mean, there's so much to be said for dancing with your mom and dad,
yeah,
and then having your parents there with you, and then your brothers, your sisters, your community, and then also the movies sometimes that have portrayed that reggae music is the struggling man's tonic. So I can see why. Oh man,
yeah. I mean, I've read a little bit about the rich background of reggae music, but it's also just so hard not to move when you're hearing it because it's really great stuff. It's just like so fluid and so different. So I want to, well, let's start out with talking about a little bit about why you're here. You're here because of an event that's happening on Saturday. So tell us about that.
Well, every year we put together the Bob Marley birthday party, reggae party, and this year we were snowed out.
That's right.
And Bob Marley's birthday, February 6th. So we worked with Marco Davis, who is managing the Arts and Movement Center, and we wanted to really try that wonderful space up there. And so this was the first date that we all could do. Tomo could have done one on March 15th, but he's in three or four other bands, so he wasn't available. But no, this is one where you get enough people together for the same date. We're going to take it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, so now, Bob, so now you are Ma Barley is the name of your band. So who's in the band?
Oh, that's a great question. Kevin Violet, Tom Peake, Terry Erickson, Jeremy Hirsch, Brigido Eduardo, and then Chandler, who moved to Seattle, is back for the program this weekend.
Wow.
And Joey Patnod, but Joey's had, you know, a hard time with his health in his back and his neck, so he is going to be there in spirit tonight. And then there's me, Mark Erickson. The band got back together. We did our last performance a year and a half ago.
Wow.
So we've had a little hiatus.
Wow. And so, and Jeremy, for everybody probably who listens a lot, recognizes Jeremy's name. He's also a programmer here at Coast Community Radio. So now, Bob Marley, he's, well, you know, let's play a little music.
That's a good idea.
We have music in the CD player.
Oh, man.
Bob Marley music. So I'm going to play a song.
So this is, this is a live cut.
Yeah. Let's see.
So you might want to fade into it.
Oh, okay. Let's see if I can.
There'll probably be like lots of shouting and screaming. Not too much.
No screaming so far.
No.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
So that was Bob Marley.
And that was a mix of his music played by his son and also some other people that he played with. And then they put his voice in there, too. So it's they're doing a lot of things in the studio now.
Well, so when I listen to reggae, you know, like it just sounds like this wonderful sort of wacky kind of sound that I don't quite get it. So we were talking a little bit while this was playing about what's going on. So talk a little bit about that. Because you play this music, so what's happening there?
I'd say you could just say if you want to play it, most of your rhythm is emphasized more in the two and the four instead of the one on the downbeat.
Okay.
So you have one and four and one and two and. So then you get your guy, your chucker, and there's different names for it, but you get somebody who's going chick, chick, chick. And that sort of gets you in the mood and it's rhythm and it's repetitive. So your vibration becomes almost transcendental, or at least you get into a trance of some, a light trance at least, hopefully, because when you're in the groove, you are feeling the music and then you also get an emotional lift. Even though a lot of the music is about struggle and about pain and coming up from the ghetto. So it's a spiritual music that is also reverent in the Rastafarian religion / culture. And there are different ways of expressing it, but reggae music is one that's really become universal thanks to Bob Marley and his compatriots from Jamaica, and then they went to London and then came to the United States, and now it's big in Hawaii, it's big in Japan. Boy, wouldn't that be fun to get those guys in North Korea turned on to a little reggae music and chill them out a little bit.
Maybe a lot of people could use a little chilling out these days. So now in the band, what instruments are we hearing? When we're going to hear you play, what are you guys going to be playing?
Oh, well, you know, you're starting off with your basic rock setup, and then you add keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
We have a conga and bongo rhythm artist who is just so great, Brigido from Venezuela. And he's got rhythm beyond words. Then our band, we've added flute, sax. Some of our concerts, we've invited our female relatives to come and sing with us. And hopefully we'll get a little bit of a jam tomorrow night with my daughter, Saren, and maybe another young lady who has sung with us before.
Wow, that's great.
But we'll spring it on the guys. They don't really know. Because we haven't had a concert for a year and a half, we've been kind of just sort of focusing on what we know we're going to be able to do. And we're going to be resurrecting about 24 songs, most from Bob Marley and the Wailers. But then there's songs from Third World and, oh my, what's his name? Toots the Maytals. And it's so great just to rehearse reggae music, because when we're finished, we just all feel quite uplifted.
Well, so then that's a question, and maybe this is part of it, a question that I asked you before we went on the air, which is, you know, you were saying that you started out as a jazz programmer here and then segued into reggae. But as a musician, I mean, you could probably be playing most anything. Why did you choose to have a reggae band?
Well, it just was a serendipitous thing, honestly. We were planning our reggae party, and here it was September, and we tried to get it 4 or 5, 6 months in advance to make sure that all the gears are in place for the party. And we were just kind of jamming around in here in the studio, and I said, let's bring in a band from Portland and really get a great party going. And Jeremy says, why don't we just start our own band? And I looked at him, and so well, what do you say? You know, and so he and I got together and we learned a few songs. He playing bass and me singing and playing a flute. And then we invited another guy, and then he started playing drums. And then we invited Terry and then Joey. I said, hey, I'd like to be in this project. And Kevin. And then we got Brigido, and it just fell together. And we got a set list of songs that everybody loved, and we built it from there. And as time went on, our first concert at Fort George, before they even opened, it was a soft opening 7 years ago now.
Wow.
We just kind of hit it, and we were only going to do one show. And then we said, that was really fun. So we did a few more, and then we started a Juneteenth routine.
That's right.
And celebrating the freedom of the slaves in Texas. And just try to find different opportunities to let the folks have a time to bring their kids out. Because our shows are always, almost always, all ages.
Mm-hmm. That's just really great. It's such fun music, and it's such dance music. I mean, you just really would have to tie yourself down not to move to reggae, I think.
That's how the band started. And as I was a jazz programmer before, there was a wonderful reggae programmer here by the name of John Booknight. He was an English professor up at the college, and he had to move to band. And so they were looking for people to take over, and whoever was the director at the time said, Mr. Erickson, your jazz programming really needs work. Would you like to do Fridays instead? And I had a young son, and he was like 3 months old, and it was kind of tough to get out on a school night, so Friday nights. And so it worked out as the perfect time.
Hmm.
So just with our family and all the things, and now my son's 22, and we've been doing it for a long, long time, and it's just sort of become a part of our family routine.
Well, it's great. I mean, you do a wonderful show, and it's just delightful stuff. So,
thank you.
So to kind of recap, if you are, I love this, because before we had like the North Coast Symphonic Band, and now we're in reggae, and it's like, so I love the diversity of all this. But now, if you are interested in reggae music, you can go to the Bob Marley Reggae Party that's happening this Saturday, 7 p.m., is that right?
Well, the door will open, but I don't think the Kevin Violet experience, which, oh man, it's Kevin, he's got his own originals, he's playing guitar, Tom is playing drums, just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin is up there, and he is putting his head out there, and God bless that guy. Kevin is one amazing local phenom, and he's got a mind. He can play. He's creative, and we're just really stoked for him and how he's stepped up.
That's great. So you're going to start out with him?
Yep, he's starting.
Oh, good, okay.
And so that'll kind of get everybody loosened up, and then Ma Barley will probably start about 9:30, depending on how things shake out.
And so now, where is this happening?
Good question. We used to have it at the event center.
Right.
We've had it at a lot of different venues. Now we're going to try out the Astoria Arts and Movement Center on 10th and Commercial. There's a sign that says yoga, and you go upstairs. It's on the side. It's upstairs from Coldwater Surf there. That's now a skate shop. So find a good place to park early, walk around, enjoy the evening, and then come on upstairs. We should have a cake. I made cake today.
You did.
We'll see how it works out.
That's great. Well, it's going to be really fun. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for being here. And so lots of great things happening this weekend, and we're going to be talking shortly with Margaret Wall from the Astoria School of Ballet. Thanks, Mark. I'm going to put on a little bit of music here.
I'm going to say hi to my friends in Florida
who said
they're listening.
Oh, hi, friends in Florida who are listening.
And they they sometimes listen to the show late, and everybody else out there, I'll see you tomorrow night. Can't wait. It's going to be great.
Terrific. All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And this is some music that I played earlier in the day. If you happen to be listening when we were having a little technical difficulty. What we do often do on Coast Community Radio when things don't work, we throw on a CD. And I had this one that I had pulled out for the show by a person who goes under the name of Delta Halos. Going to be playing at the Voodoo Room in Astoria on Saturday at 8:30 or 9. And this is a musical group that is actually one person, Kyle Cregan. And so what you're going to hear is actually the work of one musician, and you'll be able to hear him. Hear this person at the Voodoo Room this weekend, so we're going to play that for a second. Let's give a listen.
There you go, you got your head in the clouds. You're gonna find out before you have to wait down that all of your apologies won't do a thing unless they're true. I know you've done your time, boy, but what you doing now? Somewhere you lost. somehow. So it's one hit and another. Ooh, brother, tell me why. Is your heart afraid to try to keep you satisfied this time? The lesson done, it ain't always what you learn, but how to keep from falling. So don't let me down, don't fall apart, and don't ever lose your heart. It's not always worth it, but it's worth it to some. Oh, and you mean someone, yeah. Don't let sorrows come get you down. Just wait until the morning comes. You say it's not that bad, but yesterday's long gone along with what you had. Just look for where you're going, not where you've been. You'll find it's better in the end. I'm gonna tell you why, but don't let me down, don't fall apart, and don't ever lose your heart. It's not always worth it, but it's worth it to some. When you need someone, yeah, don't let sorrows come get you down. Just wait until the morning comes, 'cause you'll find most anything won't matter at all if some gave up. Go, you got your head in the clouds. Which mistakes will it take till you found that there's still a long way to go? But don't let me down, don't fall apart, and don't ever lose your heart. It's not always worth it, but it's worth it to some. Oh, and you need someone, yeah. Don't let sorrows come get you down. Just wait until the morning comes.
And that was Delta Halos. That was a performer who's going to be at the Voodoo Room on Saturday night around 8:30 p.m. I'm always amazed at the diversity of talent that comes through our area. And you can hear this person who is actually a performer, a soloist, I believe, Kyle Cregan. And another interesting performance. So we have heard from the North Coast Symphonic Band so far. So for folks who want, tubas and clarinets and other such things, you can go to the PAC on Sunday and see the tuba quartet and the North Coast Symphonic Band there at 2 p.m. And you can go to the Bob Marley birthday party on Saturday night at the Astoria Events Movement Center there at 10th and Commercial. At 7 p.m. And now we're going to talk to Margaret Wall from the Astoria School of Ballet. And we're going to talk about ballet in our area, which is really another very cool thing. So hi, Margaret.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm sitting in for Carol Newman today. So now you are doing a really cool project. But first of all, tell us a little bit about the Astoria School of Ballet, which is what this center's around.
Well, I am the director and the owner of the Astoria School of Ballet. My husband and I came to town in 2004, and we're about to be celebrating our 10-year anniversary here.
That's
at the
terrific.
School. We're a small school, but really believe in what we do and like to share the arts with the community.
Well, where is the school located?
We are now in the Liberty Theater.
You are? Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful spot.
If they had some of the second floor renovated, made into some beautiful rehearsal spaces, and it's worked out really well. And it's pretty great to be sort of in an arts complex, I suppose it's becoming. Mm-hmm. And having access to the stage is terrific for rehearsals as well. It's just been a really good move.
So now you are a school, so who are your students?
The community children.
Community children, this is kids. Wow, so what's the age range of your students?
We start at 3, and, I have all the way up to a high school senior who's going to be graduating soon, and I have a few adults who are dancing with us in our performance this year even, so sort of as guest stars.
Oh, that's really neat. So in general, when you get adults who are getting involved in ballet, are they people who once did ballet when they were younger and are coming back to it, or do you get any total newbies that have never done it before?
I've had both.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, because ballet's pretty demanding, isn't it?
Yes, very, very.
So an opportunity to do cool cultural stuff and get in shape. That sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're here partly to talk about a performance that's coming up. So tell us about that.
We are going to be performing in our original production of Snow White coming up May 16th at the Liberty Theater. All original. Music by Edvard Grieg, and we're just thrilled to be bringing this one. We do this every year. Three of the performances we do are for the school children in the area. They come from about 7 school districts and are bused in for 3 shows during the day. And then we have a public performance on Friday evening. That's the 16th at 7 p.m. It's going to be a good one this year, we're thinking. Getting pretty excited, pretty close. I actually just came from Lewis and Clark Elementary, where we were able to do a little preview show for an assembly. So that's been great.
Wow. So how much... how much preparation does it take to put on a show like this? When do you start? How far ahead of time do you start when you're going to put on a show like this?
I can go way back. I guess I start to figure things out in end of the summer, early fall. And then the show will typically be announced around December, and we will begin around February, rehearsing the students. But you've got to decide on the music, and you've got to get the costumes, and you've got to do your scenery. It's a pretty big ordeal.
So do you have a lot of people helping you behind the scenes, creating sets and making costumes for you?
We do. I have a mother and her mother who are terrific seamstresses and who do a lot of the costumes for us. We have a great family of parents that contribute and help out. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were able to have what we called a set construction party.
Wow. Yeah.
And the kids came, and there was lots of paper mache. We had a lot of things to construct, and the parents were there. And it was just a really great event to bring people together, and it gives kids ownership when they have a hand in something.
Mm-hmm. Now when you're going to put on something like this, do you create the choreography as the kind of the director of it?
Absolutely, you do.
Mm-hmm. So now when most people think of Snow White, we're kind of thinking of like Walt Disney with 7 dwarves and all that, but it's not like that.
Not,
so what is it
not
like?
Ours.
So what is yours like?
I'd say ours is more in the direction of the original Brothers Grimm, although it's not directly based on that. There are some adaptations. But it is, it's definitely not your Disney Snow White this year. Yeah. It's a little dark.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty dramatic. I was actually counting up the other day how many people actually die in this show, which I've never... had this happen so many times in a performance before, but I think it's going to be really cool. I think really dramatic.
Well, it must be kind of fun for the kids if they get to collapse dramatically on stage at some point.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's an art to dying on stage.
To do it gracefully.
Yep.
Well, that's really neat. So now this, a very interesting aspect of this show is that it's kind of an indie funded, it's a crowdsourced project. So I was looking a little bit at the Indiegogo site.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that.
We've been able to get some sponsors in the past, which really helps us out. I mean, it just takes an enormous amount of money to put on something like this. From sets to music, everything.
Yeah.
And this year, it was getting tough to find that money from the community. I mean, from, you know, corporations or anything. And we decided to try an Indiegogo campaign. We launched last Sunday, I think, and it's been, or two Sundays ago, sorry. It's just been really thrilling, and the response from the community and all over the world, actually, has
That's
been
really great.
We've been getting some money and some contributions from all over the country, and
That's great.
But from people here too, and it's been inspiring, honestly, mm-hmm. and humbling.
And so, what this is, in case you're not aware of the whole what crowdsourcing means, there are this is a website where you can go as a private individual and make a contribution to a project that you think is worthwhile. And one of the barriers sometimes for individuals or groups that are not classified as nonprofits per se, mm-hmm. is that they can't really seek funding the way a nonprofit can, because most of the time grants that we would go for, like say Coast Community Radio is a nonprofit, we can seek a grant because we are officially a nonprofit, which can be a big rigmarole for an organization. It's a lot of paperwork and a lot of bureaucracy. So for people who are just doing something really cool that's community-minded and they want funding, these crowdsourcing projects are a way to fund them. And so you can go to the Indiegogo.com. It's I-N-D-I-E?
I-E-G-O-G-O, yes.
And so you can go there and look for Snow White, and a page will come up, and you can fund this. You can contribute whatever you think is appropriate for you to this project, and you'll help put this community project in motion. And so that's what this is all about. So what a great thing.
Thank you.
That's really terrific.
Thank you.
So now just tell us a little bit about when and where this is happening.
We are performing May, 15th and 16th.
Oh, both days. Okay.
Well, yes, but the Thursday, the shows on the 15th are for schools,
oh, okay.
school children.
That's Thursday. Okay.
And then we do another school show on Friday morning.
Okay.
And the show that we hope all of you out there will come to is Friday evening, May 16th at 7 p.m.
At the Liberty Theater.
At the Liberty.
That's great.
Tickets are available at the box office. And we have a website, www.astoriaschoolofballet.com.
That's great.
If you need any information.
And so just as we're getting toward the end of the show, how did you decide? You must be a dancer, so tell
mm-hmm.
us a little bit about you.
I grew up, I thought I was going to be a professional dancer. I spent all my time outside of school in the dance studio. I was being trained professionally to pursue that. And I ended up having to have back surgery at a young age.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
You know, took a different course, went to college,
yeah.
did other things. Just never could get away from ballet. It's mm-hmm. always been my passion. So,
okay. So you came back to it.
Yes.
That's terrific. And now you're doing great things in the community.
Yes.
Well, that's very cool. Well, I just want to let everybody know that you're listening to Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm sitting in for your usual host, Carol Newman. And I'm here with Margaret Wall. She's the director of the Astoria School of Ballet. And so if you want to find out more about this project that's happening, that's going to be performing May 16th, AstoriaSchoolofBallet.com, and learn more about this crowdsourced effort to bring Snow White to our community. And not the Disney version. There are no dwarves in this one. I assume.
Well, there are dwarves, but they are not named.
Okay, they don't have names
like the
Sleepy
original
and
Brothers
Grumpy.
Grimm, right? They have...
Oh, darn.
There are just seven dwarfs.
Just
yes.
seven, I know.
But they're awfully cute
Oh,
dwarfs.
They are cute. Well, thank you so much for being here. That's really
Thank
terrific.
You very much, Joanne.
And I just want to recap a little bit what we're doing, what we've been talking about in the show, the really wonderful array of things that you have to choose from this weekend in our area. We've just been talking with Margaret Wall from the Astoria School of Ballet. This is an event that's not happening this weekend, but will be happening in May, May 16th at 7 p.m. at the Liberty Theater, a performance of Snow White that has local kids doing ballet and really cool stuff. And before that, I interviewed Mark Erickson about the Bob Marley birthday party. You can go hear the Ma Barley reggae band, and Mark is a part of that. On this Saturday, April 26th at 7 p.m., you can go to the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, 342 10th Street, upstairs, and have some cake, have some dancing, enjoy some great live local reggae music. It should be a fun party. And then earlier in the show, we listened to music and spoke with people from the North Coast Symphonic Band. They are doing a concert at 2 p.m. on Sunday at the PAC, the Performing Arts Center, Clatsop Community College here in Astoria. A pre-show with Dave Drury is going to be the Astoria Tuba Quartet, who's going to be playing guitar with Dave Drury. So it's going to be a fun time all around. So lots of great things for you to participate in. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what's happening in the local area. And thanks again, Margaret, for being here.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. Well, so it's a time in the show when we have a few minutes left. I'm going to tell you a little bit about things that are happening around the area. One of them, tomorrow morning, is Troll Radio Review. It's a Coast Community Radio show with the Queen of Radio. Debbie Twombly is your host. It happens at the Fort George Brewery and Public House in Astoria upstairs. This will be Saturday, tomorrow, April 26th, 11 a.m. to noon. And this will also be broadcast on the radio here at Coast Community Radio 91.9 FM and streaming live on the web at coastradio.org. Special guests on tomorrow's show will be Yukahala. It's going to be Ray Ryla and family, all playing ukuleles. It's going to be pretty darn terrific and adorable music by some great musicians. And the Moonlight Trio will be there, and also the Troll House Radio House Band, which features great musicians there too. So a fun time will be had by all. If you can come to the Fort George upstairs at 11 o'clock from 11 to noon, it's always lots of fun. There usually is coffee and cookies available, and you can also just have a great beer at the Fort George while you're at it. So that's happening tomorrow. I want to tell you about some other events happening around the area over the next few days. The Peninsula Arts Association presents its 23rd annual Spring Art Show. That's April 25th, 26th, and 27th from 10 to 5 p.m. at the Long Beach Depot, 3rd North and Pacific Highway. If you'd like more information about that, you can go to beachartist.org on the web. And the Astoria Public Library presents award-winning storyteller Christopher Liebrick at two free events for adults and teens, a performance, Story Styles, at 6 p.m. on April 25th, and a workshop, The Art of Storytelling, from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 26th. Sign up for the workshop in advance at 503-325-7323. That's through the Astoria Public Library. And the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach, Washington, presents Grammy Award-winning guitarist Doug Smith. That's Saturday, April 26th at 7 p.m. For more information about that performance, you can call 360-901-0962. And representatives from Astoria's arts and culture organizations and businesses are invited to an open forum. This is a meeting happening on Saturday, April 26th at 1 p.m. That's at the Astor Street Opera Company, 129 West Bond Street in Astoria. The theme of this meeting is how Astoria organizations can work together to increase funding and economic support through cultural tourism. So an opportunity for arts and culture organizations to synergize together by working together. That's happening at the Astor Street Opry Company, 129 West Bond Street, tomorrow at 1 p.m. And Sunday Afternoon Live presents Elizabeth Strickland and Jeremy Maul in an afternoon of opera, art song, and piano favorites on April 27th at 2 p.m. at the Raymond Theater. Tickets are available at the South Bend and Sagan's Pharmacy and at the theater box office. And for more information about that performance, 360-875-5831. The Peninsula's Bayside Singers will present a Spring Voyage concert. That's on Sunday, April 27th at 2:30 p.m. at the Ocean Park Lutheran Church on the Long Beach Peninsula.
From Feature Story News in Washington and our bureaus around the world, this is FSN. I'm Kevin McAleese. On today's program, President Obama and Western leaders prepare to slap Russia with a fresh round of sanctions as Moscow continues its troop buildup along the Ukrainian border.
What's also important is laying the groundwork so that if and when we see even greater escalation, perhaps even military incursion by Russia into Ukraine, that we're prepared for the sort of sectoral sanctions that would have even larger consequences.
Also today, as the FDA outlines regulations over e-cigarettes, we look at whether the $2 billion industry is targeting the nation's children, and why cowboys and Indians are riding side by side against the proposed XL Keystone Pipeline project.
We're not backing down, and we're united, and we're going to fight together.
That's coming up on FSN Reports after a summary of our day's headlines.